You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Creativity Wasted is a podcast where three or four comedians or creative people each share a creative idea, such as a movie idea, app idea, or futuristic tech idea. The idea can be funny or serious, well thought out or improvised, realistic or ridiculous, but we'll have fun talking and joking about it. I'm comedian Seth Addison.
I'm comedian Pat Siebert, the Laugh Rustler.
My name is Josh Courtney.
I'm your host, Tom Walma. This is Creativity Wasted. Okay, who wants to go first with their idea?
Well, I'm sitting right here. I can do it.
Go ahead.
Okay. I brought a movie idea for you, Tom. I hope you like it. Are you a fan of like a mockumentary kind of filmmaking?
I guess so. I've never seen This Is Spinal Tap.
Yeah, that's exactly where I was going with
scream,
it.
This Is Spinal Tap.
I've always loved the movie This Is Spinal Tap. I just think it needs to be updated a little bit, and I'd like to be the guy that does it. I've for a long time wanted to do a cheap, low-budget short film of a Spinal Tap-esque type of band, except more updated, heavier, realistic, colder black metal band. Except the only catch is that it's only one guy, and the band doesn't really exist much.
Is that because... so you can do it?
Yeah, just me. I just wanted to be me on camera stumbling around. I have no other band members.
None of your friends are good enough for camera. Your friends are all ugly or something.
Just me. And it's a band that's never played
Pat,
a show.
Come on.
Well, Pat, I'm going to have a scene with band auditions. You can come in and audition for drums.
Pat could be the manager or something.
Oh, yeah. I've got a good scene idea for a manager interview. But the rough idea is just this one guy stumbling around making excuses for why he doesn't have any band members or he's never played a show. And it just the luck doesn't turn out for him. It's also real close to, if anyone's ever seen the movie Anvil, Story of Anvil. It's a real-life Canadian heavy metal band that just couldn't catch a break and have been struggling but continue to exist for like 35 years. But the luck just never turns in their favor.
So in this movie, you said it is a struggling band. It's not based on a fake real band.
No, just
it's more of a documentary than a mockumentary in that aspect.
Yeah, except I don't have no intention of actually starting this band. But I would like to call it The Legend of Blade Cunt. Don't worry if you're concerned about cursing. I spell it with a K, so it's safe.
Okay.
And, just me trying to...
the guy that acts like he's a band. It's like John Roderick goes around as the Long Winters, and you're like, it's just one dude, not a band.
Yeah. He's just, like, so hard to work with that, like, he has no band members anymore. They've all just left him.
Yeah, I want it to be, like, his new band after his previous band failed, but the previous band also never played a show. We can have some... quick cuts to previous band members complaining about him. Like, yeah, man, we could never get the guy to play a show.
Have you ever been in a band?
Yeah, we had a killer flyer.
Yeah, we had a great flyer.
Like musically illiterate.
He comes from a grindcore band that they're like, we booked a bunch of shows all in a row. You know, we're always getting booked on these basement garage shows, but every time he showed up, he said it was too dark in there to play. The guy never take his sunglasses off. And just a lot of failed attempts at a show, but none ever actually happening.
Have you ever played in a real band?
No, I've never been in a band. I have no intention of being in a band. I don't play any instruments either. That's why I want to make this, because I don't play anything.
Air guitar?
Yeah, I look like a guy that would be in a band, and I have so many people come up and ask me, like, oh, you've got to be in a band. I got so sick of trying to convince them that I wasn't. I just started making up fake band names. Like, yeah, I'm in Blade Cunt. Google our demo. And then they walk away happy. Because I just got tired of trying to convince people I wasn't in a band.
So you're not hoping you're going to be discovered like that movie Rockstar that was based on a real story, but your story would be good?
Yeah. I always talk about our underground fan base. Because a lot of metal bands really do like build like weird fan bases. And only have one demo, never played a show, but for some reason there's people out there that think they're the coolest band in the world. I'm just going to try to make it one of those bands.
Hell yeah. Like in Spinal Tap when he was trying to get the, what was it, the meats to match the size of the breads. And like he was just such a diva. Just like the idea of like he's what's left of the band because nobody else could take him anymore. And ironically, he can't play any instruments, but we'll never know that because he can never do a show.
But you're playing, so in real life, you're not the failed band member, the pathetic guy who is making excuses. You're not that guy, no. But you're playing that guy.
Yeah, he's going to be a character.
Okay, so it's not 100% based on your real life.
No, I'm just going to make a bunch of stuff up.
So you're going to humiliate yourself on purpose.
Can't commit to things.
Yeah, for other people's entertainment.
For other people's entertainment. And they're not going to be able to, kind of like Andrew Dice Clay, where people aren't going to be able to tell what's the real Seth and the fake Seth.
Oh, yeah. I want to make this thing, and I want people to actually look up, see if they can find Blade Cunt demos, try to buy Blade Cunt merch.
Have you actually designed any Blade Cunt art?
I want that to be part of the movie. I want the guy always to be saying, this is going to be like nothing you've ever seen before. I need a logo that's like nothing you've ever seen before. But then he just compares it to a bunch of stuff that already exists. I'm going to be meeting with an artist. I'm like, I need a logo like totally new, like nothing that's ever been done. But it should have the cobwebs and the blood dripping off of it, just like the Death logo. Same thing for our sound. It's going to be like the band sound is going to be like nothing you've ever heard before. It's completely new. Just like if Tank mixed with classic Celtic Frost, except like nothing you've ever heard before, unless you've listened to those bands.
That's an actual band.
You literally never hear.
Classic Celtic Frost?
Well, just Celtic Frost, but their early years is considered the classic stuff.
That sounds like a, what's it called? Doesn't sound like a metal band. It sounds like Enya or something.
Oh, they're actually pretty.
It does. Those guys aren't doing a cover of Return to Innocence. Like they're hard.
There was a band called Vast. You might know who they are. Visual Audio Sensory Theater. It's I think one guy, not unlike your idea. And he was on an Ozfest CD, Vast, but it was extremely not heavy metal, his music. It was, some of them sounded kind of like U2, and some of them had like New Age chants and stuff in it. But for some reason, it was on Ozfest. Have you heard of them?
No, I have not heard of them.
But I use that to prove that the music service Pandora is complete bullshit. So I thought, they say that they analyze the music using like computers to see like the undertones of the music and see what you'll like, and based on that. And so I thought, how do I prove that this is bullshit? How do I test them to see if it's legit or not? So I thought, what's a complete outlier? And that's what came to mind, was Vast. So if they're going by the actual content of the music and I put Vast in Pandora, I should not get a bunch of Ozfest bands. I should get U2 and Enya and stuff that's actually musically similar. But if they're just going by related albums and like not analyzing the music at all, I'll get Ozfest stuff. And that's what I got. So I think Pandora is just a marketing scam. At least
it really is. But you know what's a good Pandora trick? Is you never thumbs up a song. Never thumbs up. Only thumbs down the ones that you don't want to hear, but never thumbs up, because they take that and they like dick ride you. They like want to like please you so good. They just like keep playing the same song over and try it. Like get a channel and like thumbs up every song you like, and that's all you'll ever fucking hear. So only thumbs down what you don't like, and then a song you like, just leave it be, and then they'll just keep trying to scratch that itch, though. They'll always keep trying to give you what you want to hear. Because I accidentally, I think it was Cake Radio, which Cake is kind of like a weird band. They're kind of in the middle of everything. And I accidentally, for some reason, they play like 3 Days Grace or some shit. And I thumbs up it on accident, and man, I heard like Butt Rock for the next 2 days on this station. So I had to delete it, you know, get rid of it.
Now, can you put a fake band on Pandora? So, like, similar artists.
Ooh,
to
right. Yeah,
what
put,
was
put
it? Your
Blade
fake
on
band
Pandora,
name?
Blade Cunt.
Blade Cunt.
Yeah, I just wanted to recommend. If you like this band, you might also like Blade Cunt. We don't have any of their music, but yeah. We
put
hear
it
it's
in
out
Pandora,
there.
Pandora, see what they recommend. That'd be hilarious.
And there's a website I use constantly called Heavy Metal Encyclopedia that documents every single heavy metal band that like anyone can update. People can edit it kind of like Wikipedia, but I'd want to make them a page and see how long it takes to get flagged for not having anything under the discography at all.
Is it a lot of pieces?
Or you could have like one guitar strum that's like 8 seconds.
Grammy, so there it is. That's it.
Some bands have like cutesy names that they call themselves. Like, I'm thinking like... Justin Bieber, they call themselves the Beliebers or something. I don't know if this applies to metal so much, but what would the Blade Cunt fans call themselves?
Oh, no. I haven't considered that. Like, the Cunt Addicts?
Ouch My Penises. Something to do with the blade cutting their penises.
Yeah, that would work. Damaged Dicks.
Yeah.
That'd be a fun way to get circumcised.
You know, that actually wouldn't be a bad way to go. You know, that's just, it's kind of like killing two birds, one stone, especially if you were losing your virginity to a Blade Cunt.
The now I guess we have to do anals.
We have no choice.
I always liked about
Are you on Skype, Josh? You're really patchy.
Oh, no.
Oh, now it's coming in. I couldn't hear you said a minute ago.
Okay, yeah, I'm getting a little bit of a back and forth in you guys too. I apologize.
Can you repeat, or if you have something to say?
Oh, no, I think it was just some random bullshit. I don't even remember. It's in the past. It's in the past.
Now, is there a plot to your movie? Like, how does it end?
I don't know. I'd like it to end with them being about to play their first show. At some point, I pick up some bandmates along the way. Just get guys. I want to, like, have audition processes where a bunch of people come in and play really well, but they don't look the part, so I don't hire them. And then a couple of dinguses that just look like me. And I'm like, this guy's perfect, but he also doesn't play any instruments. And we somehow book a show, and the movie will end right before we play the first note.
Okay. So you said you do air guitar.
Yeah, I guess. If
there's a camera right there, do you want to try to demonstrate your air guitar skills?
You can't do it silent. Air guitar is... It's just a weird miming that nobody wants to do.
We never told you had to be silent.
Kate, can you get some heavy metal music on that computer?
We're not doing it anyways, Tom.
Oh, okay, never mind.
That's for the privacy of my own home. Air guitaring. It's something I do is quietly alone in the bathroom.
I got in the bathroom. Is it a metaphor for masturbating? Air guitar?
I think so.
It could be.
A lot of hot licks on the air guitar.
If you're that flexible, I guess. Okay, anybody have anything else for Seth's idea?
You guys are all
run
invited.
With it, man. Make it.
Yeah, you guys can come audition. It'll be fun. We'll use you as extras.
Yeah, I'd say you should make it. The only question I have is, are you going to try to be like the Spinal Tap guys and come back every like decade and be like, hey, we're doing another song, or should you end it like Walk Hard, where you die at the end?
Oh, I didn't consider it a death. That could be a good twist.
Ooh, I like a good death. Yeah,
I have to write that in. It's going to be mostly improv, anyways, but I might block out a good death scene.
So when you get to the
like
stage,
you die at the end, and you get like famous musicians to be like, "Yeah, they inspired me."
That's a great idea.
How about this? You get to the stage, you're about to perform. This is the very end of the movie. You rig a sandbag to fall on your head and kill you. So it's like people think it was going to be the best thing ever, and you become a legend.
Yeah, but the legend of Blade Cunt lives on forever.
Yeah, but you never actually knew how to play, but they don't know
immortal.
That.
I can get behind that idea.
Okay. Who wants to go next with their idea?
I can go next.
Okay.
All right. So, people listening at home, this is Pat Siebert. My idea is I'd call it a service, but probably has an app-based functionality. Let's say you want to make a life change because maybe you're like too into something that you feel is like destructive. You'll use this app to get somebody to come over and make you hate the thing you don't want to do anymore. So like, and they'll have to like, you'll explain what the problem is. Someone will be like an expert in like getting people not to like something. Like, we'll get people who like used to get people out of cults, or like, we'll get a lot of old bullies from like middle school and be like, hey man, you know how you used to make fun of people because they liked this band? Like, you're going to do that again now. And since you're smart and probably didn't do anything with your life now, like you're going to be good at this. I was just thinking about it. Like, when I was in my early 20s, I worked at a youth camp, and I was wearing a shirt from the video game Mega Man 2. Like, I liked the shirt. It was cool. But this one camper was like, oh, you like Mega Man? And just, like, would not leave me alone about it and was telling me about, like, games I'd never played. Because, like, I stopped, like, and I was like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. But I couldn't swear because, you know, it was camp and he was a little kid. But at the end of that, I was like, I'm never wearing this shirt again.
So you were a camp counselor who gave in to bullying by a kid, is what you're saying?
I guess it was not bullying. Like, it was just like he annoyed me so much. I was like, I don't even, like, I'm not gonna express that I like this, that I liked this game from when I was a kid.
I've had that happen to me before, so, like, though. Where I share an interest with somebody that I don't really know that well. And then, like, 15 minutes later, I'm like, how the hell do I get out of this interaction? I want nothing more than to hate this thing so I could just end this. Just please end it.
Yeah, I think I'm one of those people. Everyone I've ever that's accidentally run into me at a bar wearing a Megadeth t-shirt, like, like 50 minutes into a conversation, they would never want to listen to Megadeth again or hear anything about it, and they throw the t-shirt in the garbage on their way out. While I'm trailing behind him.
Is that how you gain all of your Megadeth shirts?
I just bully people into realizing they're not as big of a fan of a band as I am until they give up.
Yeah.
Now,
so like, let's say I was like, hey, I like Megadeth, but I feel like I'm not getting the new music, and like I can't relate to people. Like, you could come in and just talk to me so much about Megadeth, and I'm like, all right. I get it. I can throw this shit away now.
I found my one true reason.
And
it's
day
like Rick
two,
and Morty things.
Day two of me breaking down the artistic changes with the last album of Cryptic Writings on the classic lineup. Started in 90 with Rust in Peace. But you can also discuss how the song Disintegrators was a toss back to the classic 85 sound off Killing Is My Business and Business Is Good.
And okay, we get it.
And then, yeah, then nobody wants to ever listen to Megadeth
again.
Yeah, I
already don't want to know more about this.
Yeah. I'll buy your services to not hear more of this conversation.
Would you use tools like hypnosis?
Yeah, I think maybe for, like, the really advanced cases, like maybe someone who, like, never got past, like, being a Star Wars super fan. You're like, dude, you got to, like, be able to talk to people and not like live in your parents' basement. So yeah, you gotta go to this hypnosis thing. And I said, dude, because it's usually a guy. Like, there aren't gonna be many chicks that would need that.
Yeah, this may be sexist, but I feel like girls don't tend to get into things like Star Wars, or there's no female equivalent to Star Wars where they just go in a hole. Maybe a few women will collect like hundreds of dolls or something, but that's not nearly as big of a thing for
like
women.
There are women who like those things, like Star Wars, Star Trek, the stuff like that, but I think the stereotype is still like, you know, a really fat guy wearing a shirt tight and
So if let's say you fell in love with somebody, a woman who hates comedy, because we're all aspiring stand-up comics, or if Seth fell in love with somebody who hated metal and didn't want you to wear leather jackets and wanted you to cut your hair. Like
that bullet belt, no more, Seth.
So
you should just fall out of love with someone like that, I believe.
That's true. I mean, at what point do you decide to just, instead of getting this service,
what if you
just
have like a lease together? You got to at least stick it out a year.
Make an effort, you know? Say, I'll try the service, and then if it doesn't work out, we're over.
Is the service reversible? Like, if it makes Seth hate metal, and then the girl breaks up with him, then he's just staring at an empty wall with no posters on it, just crying alone. Can he get his metal love back?
Yeah, what's the fallout for this program looking like? Just a bunch of suicide.
There's got to be a reverse, like maybe within within a year, come back and maybe
he's like a whoops button.
I don't know what.
Oh shit.
Yeah, like a whoops button, or like they'll be like, oh, we made you hate doing comedy, Pat, so now we're going to make you hate getting a good night's sleep and seeing friends. And
like normal.
Like shit if you're not funny. Yeah.
Just normal stuff.
So instead of, I'm confused. So what you're saying is if they make you hate comedy, they can't give you the love of comedy back, but they can make everything else even worse than comedy, so then you like comedy again?
That's why we all started doing this in the first place.
Just lower the bar of life.
I guess I'm going to have to
Don't worry, we'll fix it. Yeah, I definitely have some things that I could subscribe to that about. I would definitely, like I said, Rick and Morty. If I could pay somebody to make me hate Rick and Morty, it's so hard to hate it. But,
Man, do you have Facebook?
I would pay a nominal fee to disassociate myself with those horrible trolls of their fandom. Get me out of there. Get me out of there.
Yeah.
I don't know, I have mixed feelings on Rick and Morty, but I don't know.
I've only seen one episode, but I've read a dozen articles about people hating the fans. I don't know why.
You know, and it's almost like, I hate to even say this, but it's almost like Justin Bieber territory where, like, come on, guys. You all love at least one Bieber song. You don't like that you love it, but you love it. And you don't love what it means to say that you like it, you know? Like, to come out and say, I like this song kind of puts you in a net that it's hard to escape from. And you don't like to love the things that you love. But I would definitely, if I had enough money, I would pay Pat to make me hate things that I love.
Now let's say you fall in love with a married woman. Could you pay someone to make her not love her husband?
Oh, I think you can do that by yourself. I don't think you need anyone else to do that. Just live up there for 20 years and then problem solved.
Can you order this service for someone else?
Like transfer services or Like, I don't know about making other people change for you. Like, that seems like that might be ethical. Like,
what if you're the thing that you want to hate?
Yeah, like, can I? Yeah. I think you'd make more money that way if I could order the service to, like, make my neighbor hate banging prostitutes at, like, 2:30 in the morning when I'm trying to sleep. I would send that service to him.
Like a Christmas present. Like, hey, I got you something.
You're going to save some money.
Yeah. I'm gonna help you out, man. I don't want you banging prostitutes. Like, you're getting too old for that. Like,
man, he is old, too. And really, I wouldn't mind.
Like, I'm also throwing in, like, you're going to hate small talk, so we're never going to talk out in the yard. And
so... To summarize, Pat Sievert, you just want to make people hate things. That's your legacy, is to spread hate.
To improve their overall lives, but yeah, I guess.
Hate for love.
I hate the Pat Sievert story.
That's what you should call this, hate for love.
Like, you could be like, you know, I want to lose weight, but I always fall on, like, I start eating fast food again, so I'm like, oh, well, we'll make you hate, like, every fast food chain except, like, Hardee's, because nobody lives near a Hardee's. Like,
man, I had the worst experience at a Hardee's of the day, and it was a real bummer. You know, it just, yeah, that's a very practical use of your idea, is fast food hate, for sure.
I don't know how you would make people hate food. Like, hide, like, semen in it or something. I don't think that would even work.
African.
I think
maybe you hate like processed food or something, so you're eating like salads and then your health will thank you.
I did.
It should be like in Canada with the cigarette packages, the pictures. They should, before you buy a double cheeseburger, you should have to watch like a 45-second video showing what they do to the animals. And like how your burger got made, and you probably wouldn't make it on top of your list as far as where to go.
Maybe animal rights.
Or you could, like, someone from the service could go with you to McDonald's and be like, you know, those people want to make $15 an hour, and then they just keep telling you that as you're eating, and eventually you're just like, fine, fuck it, I don't care, I'm not gonna eat here anymore. Like,
that's not good enough for me.
I'm all for like, you know, a living wage, for sure. You know, like, let's be better with you know, how we treat our society. But I was at Wendy's the other day, and there was a full on almost like gang fight in the kitchen, and it escalated so bad. We thought that they were gonna go to war. Like, there were so many like N words thrown around, and like, I'll kill you, I'll fight you. Let's take this outside. No, let's take this out front. And like, they're just screaming and shouting and F this, F that. And I'm just sitting there like, yeah, can I get a 4-4? Is that possible? Like, it was just so uncomfortable. and then I got to sit there and be like, well, what is a burger made with hate taste like? It was, I don't know, $15 an hour, maybe 12. That's meat in the middle. I don't know about that.
I don't know. I think people should get a working wage, but I'm not willing to cook for 40 minutes every night in order to give to not eat fast food. Fuck that.
I love cooking, like, Chili's are better for me.
Yeah.
There was I think it was Radiolab podcast, where there's some tick that if you get bit, it makes you allergic to meat, certain types of meat.
Ooh.
Not all meat. Like,
that'd
I think
be
maybe
a tragedy if it happened, but hopefully I would adapt. Yeah,
but that might get you to not eat, to not love fast food. The allergic pustules that ooze out of your face or whatever happens to you.
Oh yeah,
that might make you not want. Yeah, or you might just endure
maybe the
it.
Service should look into like breeding those ticks to be like, hey, you know, hypnosis didn't work, having a guy shame you while you ate it didn't work, sit down in that chair right now, you're gonna get bit by a bunch of these ticks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, breed those ticks, farm them out, and then distribute them to the fattest places in America. Is that what we're talking about? No.
Yeah.
I figured people could come in and like have a consultation about it, but yeah, either way.
I feel like if somebody
we gotta include the element of choice.
Somebody That's just right. threatened me with a bunch of bug bites, I'd be like, I'm good, I'm just not gonna eat it anymore.
Yeah,
I promise. Yeah, yeah. Just have a guy follow you around with a bug, like every time you see the McDonald's
like,
on the
offering. Yeah, if you don't put that down, I'm gonna make this bug bite you, and then you won't want it.
So, I would accept the challenge. I'm like, yeah, go ahead, try to make me not want this. Challenge accepted.
I think I would accept for fast food. I think I would accept a bug bite that was painful, but not one that would itch for days. Like, I would get stung by a bee for a cheeseburger. I would endure that if I was hungry enough.
It sounds like a weird game.
But like,
show.
What about getting kicked in the nuts? Like, every fry you order, you gotta get kicked in the nuts.
Well, that's just insane. You know? Every fry.
I mean, I want
no, like every like,
how many fries are in that bucket?
Like every order of fry.
Yeah, you could be like, oh, these Rally's fries are really good. Like, I don't know if it's getting kicked in the nuts good.
Yeah, that would really, really amp up the quality of fast food. All these people, they don't want to get kicked in the nuts to get their fries.
Yeah, we got to make these really good so people take, you know, possibly not having kids.
Now, that's a job I would demand $15 an hour for. Or maybe I'd do it for free, just kicking people in the nuts. Like, if you worked at, like, fucking Checkers and, like, your job was the nut kick, that wouldn't be a bad gig.
Okay.
You'd be standing there at, the end of the drive through and you'd be like, okay, step out of the car.
You know the drill. You've been here three times today. You know the drill.
Be great exercise.
Receipt, like the guys at Walmart, and you're like, oh, you have fries on here.
Yeah, they're smuggling them. It's in their shirt. Like, no, I'm clean.
I did get fries, but they're not for me.
Yeah, this is for my neutered dog. No nuts to kick. Leave me alone.
My neutered dog.
Well, I think we've strayed from the main idea a little bit here.
Maybe.
Anything else to add, Pat?
No, I think we covered it and then some, so I'm good.
Yeah, we kicked that idea. We kicked its ass, I guess. Okay, Josh, you ready to go with your idea?
I'm pretty sure I'm ready to go.
Okay.
Okay. So this is not a movie. This is not an. It's more of a program that I think would be beneficial if the government got its greasy little paws on, and that would be to make prostitution not just legal but borderline mandatory. Now hear me out. Okay. So we've all had really awful, probably first few sexual encounters, not so great, right? Like my own, good God, we don't got enough time to explain why it was bad, but it was a shit show and it sucked. And here's what I'm proposing. I think that if the government had like a sexy hooker catalog that on your 18th birthday, you could peruse through and for free find and select a hooker, prostitute person to fornicate with, to pop your cherry. And just, you know, and maybe every year on your birthday you get the same thing, you know, just in case, you know, you don't always get it by yourself. Because you know what? It's a frustrating thing to live a life where sex is so hard to come by. And I think that there's already people out there trying to sell their bodies, but they're doing it illicitly, except outside of Vegas.
So when you say it's mandatory, it's borderline mandatory to receive it, not to perform it. Like,
right.
You're not making women become prostitutes.
No. I think it should be heavily suggested, like getting your driver's.
Well, it sounds like it's mandatory for the prostitute to perform, not that, well, I mean, I guess you get it. Like, it's like you're getting your draft card and your notice that you've got to bang a hooker.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm saying like that sounds so awful. You gotta bang a hooker. Come on, think of what you're saying. You know, you get to bang a hooker, There's no gotta, you know. It's a, I just think like here's the real thing. I think that they're, you know, like Elliot Rodgers, you know, the really sad freak show of a guy who shot up all the girls who wouldn't have sex with him. You know, like that. He's gone now. He got his 18-year-old nut off, and now he's happier. You know, like maybe less of him exists if the government gives you a hole to do with what you want on your birthday.
Will the government give this to mentally disabled people too?
I think they should be top of the list.
I have a question.
Like sexual orientation, like
now what?
Oh
if
yeah,
you're...
I mean, like there's like when because it's going to be a website, obviously, and when you're like clicking
like whatever
your
you're
buttons,
into,
you know. Yeah, oh yeah, dude. I think it should be like totally like, not depraved, but like very very thorough. Like whatever you're into, and that's when you can find out what you're into, and there's no shame in saying, oh my god, I really would love to I don't know, bang a disabled midget that only roller skates around town. Like who knows what the criteria is. I just think that like, you know, sexual activity is associated with so much shame these days. I think that if the government stepped in and helped you get your rocks off, then maybe there would be less sexual deviancy, less like you know, rape and murder. Who knows? I'm spitballing here, but I think this is a really good idea.
Now, is the government going to get mad at people that take it in their own hands before their 18th birthday, though? You know, that's my main concern. What if you're cool
wait,
me?
You mean like masturbation? I don't think
no,
that's
like,
I
that's
know.
What I thought you
what
meant.
What about the cool kids that get laid in high school?
If you lose it at 15.
And then when the government...
I mean, sure. There'll be subsects of society where they're like, yeah, no. I fucked before my government hunger. I didn't need that one, you know, but I just think, man,
I didn't need my government nut.
Yeah. Instead of government cheese, you get government nut, you know, who knows, man, a lot of potential here. I just think that like, you know, instead of living your whole life in solitude and pity and regret, you know, maybe instead of fucking no one, you could fuck Uncle Sam. You know, or Aunt Samantha, who knows?
No. Well, so.
Like, I know, like, Seth asked, would the government be mad at you if you achieved it before your 18th birthday and you got your government nut? Like, would it take, like, the drive to do that away? Like, feel like kids are cool in high school because they're trying to, like, impress people and get sex out of it. Like, you know, we've been changing like the whole. We've been changing the whole like societal dynamic.
Oh, so
like
nobody will try to
like
play
it.
Football and impress
people
girls anymore. They'll all be nerds
because they want to. They're doing it so people will be like, "Oh, I'd let him have sex with me."
Right. I just think there's a lot of good that can come up with it. It definitely has the potential to completely go to shit and be detrimental to society for sure.
I think you're killing a lot of people's ambition here. There's a lot of people only looking to be talented and impressive and, you know, helpful to society in hopes that it will make someone want to touch them on the penis. And if they just know they're getting it either way, we're going to have a lot of people just sitting around not doing shit until their free government hooker shows up.
That's a fair point. Like, so if the drive to get your genitalia caressed by a member of the sex that you so choose, if that's gone, then we got just a bunch of homebodies that are like, well, when I'm 18, I got it in the bag. I mean, how about like a birthday present from the government? Like, you don't have to use it, but it's like, you know, it's there if you want it, you know, if you need it.
Yeah.
Well, if it's legal.
I think that, you know, because like, yeah, if it's legal, I mean, you might get like a, you know, you might get some writers who could write like a good story about it, like Michael Chabon, if he grew up in that, like he could do something good. But like all the songs that are just about trying to get laid, like they just you know, nobody.
What do people sing about? Just
it'd be like
death metal, like hate, like anger.
Yeah, high school talent shows are gonna go downhill.
You know, I'm gonna nut. Yeah, music would take a big hit for sure. No more need.
So the government, they have like food stamps and welfare.
fuck stamps. Fuck stamps.
Splooge stamps. Yeah, no. But, I mean, if it... Yeah. They didn't earmark it specifically for that, but you had welfare that you could use for that, and it was legal.
Yeah.
People who needed it would use it.
Connected to like welfare for that?
That's where he comes in.
Tax rebate.
They need to make the free pussy not as good as the pussy you have to work for. Like, you know, a lot of us could eat government cheese, but we'd rather get a job and go buy the good cheese.
Once you get on that birthday nut, you never stop. Like, you don't get off that.
Right, you're on the tit. Yeah, you're done for. Yeah. I don't know. I just, because, like, I don't know about you guys, but my first time having sex was, like, full of, like, religious shame and am I doing this right? And also, this is wrong. But if, like, I don't know, like, if, like, kids were, like, I don't know, like, weaned from early age to know this is okay. And when you're of age, you will get your proper nut off, and you can live a successful life. You know, there's a balance there.
They're like drop trowel and think about the flag.
I sense a Josh Courtney political campaign slogan here.
Yeah,
campaign platform.
Yeah, that's my slogan will be.
It might work in like there's states like Alaska that are like 70% men. You might be able to to win office in Alaska.
Yeah, this is more of a Europe friendly idea, but we can get there.
Like if you grew up in like Alaska, so it'd be like your father would sit you down and be like, "You're turning 18, so you're going to leave Alaska for the first time, and you're going to get your government nut." or they have like seaplanes drop them off. Someone's turning 18. You need to get to this village.
Yeah, it'd be like prom day. They like get all dressed up and take pictures before and after.
Listen to the radio hits of the day.
This is little Jimmy before and after his government. Now, look at him.
Anything else to add?
I think this is a better idea the more I think about it. I think the key is waiting until you're 18 because my skepticism was like every kid I've heard of having a prostitute handed to him either turned out to be like a serial killer or Michael Jackson or something. But that was because their parents tried to do it.
Yeah.
Their crazy dad did it when they were like 13.
If everybody had that option, sometimes in high school, if you're interested in someone, you have to like work up the courage to express that, and then they have all the power to like reject you, and they can be mean about it. Like you're like, "Oh, I'm crushed because they were mean," but you'd be like, "Well, fuck you! I'm getting a pro in 2 years, so
right? Yeah, I don't need you. You have no power here.
Come see me when I'm 19, bitch."
Yeah, let's talk about it the day after my birthday when I got a 364 days with no government. No, then we'll talk.
Okay, let's move on to my idea. A little tame compared to that one. I don't believe in cooking. I don't think anybody should have to cook for themselves. I think it's a waste of time. It's a bad way to design society. So people who are like scientists and engineers, and we sort of push them to devote 40 minutes a day pissing away doing manual labor of cooking just to be healthy. I think that's a horrible way to design society. And I think it's weird how society encourages some forms of manual labor, like cooking, but not others. It doesn't quite make sense. People don't really ever think about it, though. They're just sort of indoctrinated in it.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about, well, why do we encourage, why does our society encourage people to cook their own food and, but like accept paying for gardeners and mechanics and stuff. You don't, they don't look down on you if you hire a mechanic, but they look down on you if you never cook and you just eat fast food and whatever.
Personal chef kind of entitlement. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think, one reason people want to cook their own food is cooking is kind of like hunting or doomsday prepping, but for women. It's like a instinctual, like historical evolutionary thing. It makes you feel self-sufficient, like you're in control of your life, like you're not dependent on other people for your own needs, maybe. Maybe there's a little bit of that. Yeah. And then I also think cooking is like a big dick contest for mothers, like to try to outdo each other. Like they do that with like breastfeeding, like in natural births. Like they try to endure pain and work in order to wave their mother dick around and show that they're better than the other mothers.
Mother dick.
Like it's a way.
Like if you have a friend over for dinner and then they're like, "Oh man, this is great. We never get this at home." Mom's just like, "Yeah, yeah."
You know, you never had a mother with a real big dick, I guess.
Yeah, and the other problem, of course, with people cook because there's not healthy alternatives to cooking. So the only alternatives are like fast food, which is unhealthy, and then sit down restaurants, which
pay
are
an arm and a leg.
Yeah, you pay more. It's still almost as unhealthy a lot of the time, and it still wastes as much time. You're just not doing the labor.
Right, so, you're likely paying like 3 times as much as what you would do at home also.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like most foods, you know, aren't good raw. So it's like, fuck, I'm stuck. I got to cook.
Yeah. So it's kind of like, well.
Or pay somebody to do it for me.
And then, so I was thinking.
I like cooking.
Oh. Yeah. Some people like cooking. I despise it.
Well, it's like it's less of a toil and a grind because it's like, Yeah, sure. You got to work hard, and you got to do things that aren't like fun necessarily. But at the end, you got a big old plate of grub. You get to choke down. It's a good reward. It's not so much like working. It's like, you know, hey, yeah, I gotta treat myself.
But yeah, so
like I made chili today, and I like did all the prep the night before, and then just put it in a crock pot. And like let it cook all day, so like I didn't have to do shit today, and I got to eat it. Like that's pretty cool,
right?
But yeah, so but I was thinking like fast food doesn't inherently have to be unhealthy. It's just sort of how it evolved through history. Like, and the problem is that people who are healthy, they won't eat at McDonald's because they hate it. So even if McDonald's started some kale thing or something, it would fail because the people who would eat it just ideologically hate McDonald's.
That's the thing. They hate what it represents. I mean, nobody can look you in the eye and tell you that they hate a McDonald's french fry. Because fuck off. That shit is really good. And they hate what it represents. It's like, oh, I have to, it's like a shame thing for them. It's like, I want people to know that I went to McDonald's.
Yeah. Those
people are in the pocket of Big Cookbook. Like, they're just.
But yeah, I think the snobbery of these people who won't eat fast food and convenient food, even if it's healthy, I think that's the real cause of obesity in America, is the snobbery of those people because they de-incentivize companies from developing healthy food. Like,
actually a very good point. I can't agree with you more. Yeah. Yes.
But Yeah, so society, we should, since we're in a huge obesity epidemic, we should strive to make healthy food as convenient as possible, but we're doing basically the exact opposite. We're trying to convince people to cook more and piss away more of their time cooking. Like, there's a slow food movement. I saw a woman on TV. She even wants people to garden their own vegetables. And that's like the worst. If you're going to strategize on how to make the country healthier, that's like the worst possible thing you could possibly say. Like, how can you be that backwards?
Yeah, they could go out and play on that land, but they're turning it into farms.
But I came up with an idea for a type of fast food that I think can break through this weird, unhealthy societal pattern of only making convenient food unhealthy and encouraging people to go through too many hoops to get healthy food. So my idea is for a fast food chain that I call Frankenburger. And it would be for vegetarian fast food burgers and for fake, like, lab-grown meat burgers. So Frankenburger is like Frankenstein, and it's because it's like lab-grown meat. A lot of people are sort of grossed out by the concept because it's not natural. And so some companies, and even like soy meat, like fake meat, they try to hide that it's not natural. And I think we should go the other way and just embrace it and have our icon be Frankenstein, the most unnatural life form in the world.
Here. I would go to a restaurant that had Frankenstein standing outside instead of Ronald McDonald. Ronald McDonald is much scarier than Frankenstein.
Yeah.
Frankenstein is cool. Yeah, I'll eat his burger.
But I like the idea of just embracing the unnaturalness of it instead of hiding it. And I also think
like scientists made this. Yeah, like, this, you know how much work was put into this unnatural, bastard burger? Yeah, like, let's talk about, like, how it's not a natural thing, and that's why it's good. Yeah.
Yeah. And I like the idea.
You know those scientists flavor blasted it.
Yeah, they're really good at, like, the Jelly Belly thing, like, getting, like, clear liquid goo that tastes like something and just sprinkling it on things and making a jelly bean taste like popcorn or whatever. They're pretty good at stuff like that. I don't know why they don't do it more to give us more healthy food. But that's what Frankenburger would do. They would use science to make delicious, healthy food.
And it should be cheap.
Yeah,
that's also a part of it, because, like, going hand in glove with the snobbery aspect, I think that, like what if, like, at your most precocious restaurant, or pretentious rather, like, what if the prices were inverted? Like, what if the worst thing for you cost the most and the healthiest thing for you was the cheapest? They could still make up their money by selling the greasy, gonna kill you tomorrow burger by making it $35. For the people that really want to hurt themselves, but then making your kale, seaweed wrap, making that $1, and then the snobs will be like, well, I mean, I made $100,000 last year. I'm not going to spend $1 at Vietro's. and then they'll resort to eating what's bad for them, and then all the rich people will be fat, and all the fat people will be rich.
Yeah, be like, look at old Rockefeller over here getting a double down.
Yeah. You can afford to die early.
Yeah, and that's a good idea too, because the lab grown meat could still be unhealthy, like, and delicious, and it would have to cost more. So that fits your model of making the unhealthy stuff cost more. And also,
because you got to make up for it.
And I think that the combination of being healthier and having fake meat, not torturing animals and stuff, I think that's enough to maybe break through the food snobbery of, oh, I never eat fast food. I'd never eat at McDonald's.
The moral objections. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because being fat used to be a symbol of wealth. I think we should we should get back to those roots. Everyone.
Yeah. And so one thing that I thought too, cause I want him to embrace the, that it's, not natural. I also think that they should embrace that it's not quite as good as real meat. So you could have, and the way I think they should do that is they should name the burgers like how close it tastes to real meat. So like if the hamburger, okay, is 74% as good as a normal hamburger, they would just name it Hamburger 74.
Yeah.
Which sounds like, oh.
Like a Netflix star rating.
Yeah. And then it sounds like, well, nobody would eat the Hamburger 74, but if it's healthier, it's got half the calories and it's pretty good and it's the same price or similar price, they might. And if as they come out with new recipes, like, oh, the Hamburger 78 is out, I have to try the Hamburger 78. So as they get better, it's a way to get people to come back in and try it as they improve. So that was an idea that I had. And if eventually they could even become better, they might be able to make fake meat that's better than real meat, and it beats it in taste tests. So you could have a Hamburger 127, you know? They could be better and eventually.
Yeah. Seven points above a real dead cow.
So, yeah, and then if we're successful with Frankenburger, we could branch out to other forms of fast food like Franken Pizza and Franken Franks.
Oh, I'd eat one of those in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Franks.
But, yeah, that's basically the idea is so people would go there because no suffering, no torturing of animals, factory farming, less calories. Another thing is that I used to bring soy burgers to work because you could microwave them. So it was a convenient lunch. So if you can, if these fake meat, if they last longer, you could order like a whole day's meal all at once through the fast food line. So it'd sort of blur the line between a restaurant that serves food that you're meant to eat right then to almost half of a grocery store where you could buy like a day's or multiple days of food all at once from the fast food line. So that could be another reason people would go. Frankenstein, like Seth said, is way cooler than a clown like some of the other fast food chains have. Yeah.
I like it, man. I would go to Frankenburger.
Yeah, I like the idea.
I would spend my whole paycheck on one dinner.
Okay, well, I think we're out of time. That was Creativity Wasted. Thanks for calling in, you guys. Thanks for listening. Good night.
Thanks, Tom.
Yeah, thanks. Yep.
Thank you.